ever question how we could do education better, you have made it to the Disrupt Education Podcast. I'm your host, Peter Hostrasser. I'm going to take that question with a bunch of learners, ed tech, entrepreneurs, and educators across the world. Check out disrupteducation.co for more. Thank you so much for being here, listening to this podcast. Also, I want to let you know we're a proud member of the Ed Up Experience Podcast Network and the hashtag Rebel Teacher Network. Check out hashtag Rebel Teacher Network on all socials and check out edupexperience.com. And I'm part of that podcast network. Great podcast, great things going on in education. On this episode, I've got a good friend, an entrepreneur, an ed tech person looking at different ways to eliminate blockers for students. We work together at a couple of schools. His name is Uzair Hussein. He is the founder of District Zero, and he's going to take us through his educational journey growing up in the States, coming from Pakistan, and just talking about all the different things that people block themselves with and how District Zero is working on that. It's a great discussion. Hang on, we'll be right back after this. I recently asked Jake, who is a sophomore in high school, why he uses SpikeView to share his learning journey.
I think it's really cool that, you know, SpikeView is really putting that abstract into concrete data and knowledge and then displaying that to the outside world. And I think SpikeView is different than anything else out there. Like I said before, because it's really taking that, you know, those abstract skill sets and those abstract experiences and putting them into data that, you know, is actually mathematic and scientific and, you know, that matches you up with the best programs and, you know, best places for you. People, you know, who are really trying to make those changes in the world, and they're going to be using SpikeView because SpikeView is that app where you can, you know, take those experiences and take those passions and put them out there. And share with other people, and that's, you know, that's really powerful. And that, you know, that professional networking piece, you know, to be with other like-minded teenagers, that puts you ahead. That puts you ahead in a lot of ways. And so, you know, I think anyone who uses SpikeView right now has a leg up in the future, and excited to see, you know, where those SpikeView alumni head up.
Head to SpikeView.com. Start your portfolio now for free. Are you an individual or business wanting to create an online course or training program, but are overwhelmed with the e-learning process and don't even know where to start? If so, you don't want to miss this free masterclass called Create and Launch a Successful E-Learning Program, Online Course, or Virtual Training, where you will learn the biggest mistake most people make with e-learning, the number one reason most e-learning programs fail, and the three pillars to create extraordinary value for your learners every time, and much more. Get instant access to the free masterclass right now by clicking on the link in the description. All you have to do is sign in and you will get instant access to this free masterclass right now. The Disrupt Education vlog can be found on YouTube. To hear it in podcast form, search Disrupt Education on any of the following podcast platforms: Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Breaker, CastBox, Overcast, Radio Public, Pocket Cast, Spotify, or Stitcher. All right, we're on the Disrupt Education Podcast. Peter Hostrasser here. Great guest today. Friend, entrepreneur, just kick butt guy around education. That's what I'm going to... That's a terrible intro for you, but I have Uzair Hussein here. Uzair, how you doing, man?
I'm doing really great, and that's an awesome intro. I'll take it. Very humbling.
Kick butt of everything.
Yeah.
Well, let's unpack that a little bit, man. Tell us a little bit about who you are and what you're doing these days, man.
Yeah. You know, well, I'm in the Midwest these days. So I'm an entrepreneur. I primarily work in technology and product development. That's where I spent the majority of the last 10, 15 years. But yeah, I was born in Pakistan, you know, immigrant, came to the States with my family when I was about 4 years old. started at CPS and then grew up in District 204, actually, Indian Prairie in Naperville. So hopefully that's a little bit of a synopsis, but we can get into the details on some of those things.
As you know, as an entrepreneur, I mean, you've done a lot of different things. I kind of want to dig into that because you got a great past, not only just with systemic education and being, you know, an immigrant, and then also, you know, you learned a lot through the businesses that you've worked and grown and, you know, succeeded at and failed at and all that. So where do you want to start on that? Because, well, let's start with like being an immigrant and coming into, were you a child like coming into CPS? How old were you when you entered the States? And then, what was that transition like? We'll start there in like systemic schools.
Yeah, well, it's crazy. I don't think many people have asked me about some of these details. Parents brought me over. So, you know, my two biological mother and father who have passed now, but at the time they brought my older brother and myself over. Many years later, we also have two younger brothers that were also born here in the States. But I started at preschool in CPS. So we moved into, it was called the medical apartments. They were across what was Cook County Hospital back then. Now it's Stroger. And, you know, we spent about a year or two there, and then my parents moved us to the suburbs. So we moved to Downers Grove, and I went to Henry Puffer Elementary School. And then from there, you know, my dad and my mom somehow managed to buy a home and build a home in Naperville in 1994. And, you know, that looking back now, I mean, it's almost magical, that whole set of events right there and what that, you know, transpired years forward. But, you know, what I remember is starting off in the foreign language, you know, support classes, maybe in preschool, but I don't really remember spending much time in those after that. Was always curious, had my fair share of, you know, getting into trouble or, you know, incompletions. So I grew up in Indian Prairie School District. I was pretty much the only brown guy or brown person really there. There was one other family that was in our court. It's very different now in Naperville with the population these days. Graduated from Waubonsie Valley in 04. And that took me down the path of university. So I started at UIC, decided to start with biological sciences and click clack my way through that. Eventually dropped out. Didn't have a plan to come back, and life brought me back. There's so much there. But yeah, that immigrant kind of jump off. The critical things that I remember is, you know, just being amongst normal society, still going to Pakistan every other year to visit our family in Karachi. I'm fluent in Urdu and Hindi. And so, you know, even growing up Muslim, I was also part of the Islamic school, the Islamic Center of Naperville. So my mom was really critical about keeping those values and keeping them strong. So, you know, that's what got me to kind of move around with other districts and meet other friends that were in other suburbs, whether it's Schaumburg or, you know, Lyle or Bolingbrook. That kind of got me, you know, moving along.
Let's take a look then. So there was that little gap, like, what did you do after you left college? Right. So I know the answer to this, but, I think our listeners can, kind of understand, like, you jumped into kind of, I want to call it technological problem solving, right? There were so many different areas where you were on teams, you were around technologies, emerging technologies, and being a part of that. What happened? What happened in those years? Yeah. And by the way, I am going to spoil it. You do have a college degree, but so not, you know, we're disruptive education here, so not that's better or worse, but you did go back and finish. But let's go into that, man. You learned a lot in with a lot of entities. What were those, and what were you doing then?
You know, I didn't have a plan. I mean, what got me to move to California or start the company in the first place was just, you know, sheer stubbornness. I was applying a lot to corporate companies, like all throughout. I spent majority of my teenage years in retail sales, selling everything from clothes to electronics to you name it, right? Like all across malls, whatever. And my last retail kind of engagement, or my second to last, was at Apple. And I was still trying to get into corporate, and it just wasn't happening. You know, people say, I'll do this, do that, but it takes a lot to kind of break that chasm. I didn't have my degree at the time. So it was just very hard to break through that plateau. And I figured, you know what, like, screw this. I'm going to just jump in the deep end, you know, and if I'm going to do it, all my people that I've looked up to, this wasn't a blocker for them. I learned what a blocker is much later on, but you know, these things didn't hold them back. So why should they hold me back? And what's the worst that can happen at that point? First parent had passed. So when my mom passed, it kind of gave me this like afterburner. That's what happens when these critical moments happen. And that afterburner got me to California, jump in the deep end, start building another technology app, right? Because I was coming from the app store at Apple, like selling the app store and the stores. When I built my own product, and I didn't know this because I was applying for product manager internships, trying to get into corporate, and this wasn't happening. Nobody told me, just go build a product. I just did that because that's what I knew. Right? Like selling websites or selling whatever it was. I just figured, okay, I've never built an app before, but I'm sure I could figure that out too. I eventually ended up like building something alongside a group of people over the course of many years, almost 10 years, that happened to be so different and so set apart that it opened up all these other opportunities that I never planned for. You know, that business or that product didn't, you know, pay for my bills. It didn't cover my rent. It didn't put food on the table. It got me some press. It got me some tweets, you know, some likes and shares, but it didn't feed me, right? And that was really, really disheartening, difficult, challenging. But along the way, you know, people said, hey, we saw what you did over here. Could you help us with this? That, then I'd push my product further. Someone else would see it. They'd say, hey, can you help us with this? And so that's sort of been my journey, is like just natural curiosity driving me places, building some skills that I didn't know, or applying them to a constant project or something that I'm working on. And, you know, either that ends up paying for it, which thankfully nowadays that's gotten to that point, or, you know, it's other projects that are supplementing that, you know. It's been a quirky journey. A lot of cool brands though, a lot of cool products, you know, that I've been able to work on.
And with that, like when we met a few years back, we literally sat down, had coffee, and then just started busting out how are we going to change up education, and using the app that you were currently working on, and now that you're into this new one. Let's unpack that a little bit. You know, you did mention a blocker. Let's tell everybody what a blocker is. That's number one.
Because once
I figured that out and I was able to tell my students that, it was something that was just an eye opener. It's like, oh yeah, there is something stopping me, right? And then the other thing was, you know, where are you taking this with your own journey? Because there's a couple of different ways with who you are. And also, you took your interests and you built on it and you kind of figured it out along the way. I think that's where education's going, where people are figuring out what are you interested in, and then everything else connects to that. So let's start first with blockers, and what are you doing to disrupt, break down those blockers, especially for the students and even educators in general?
You know, as I didn't know this, right? It's not until you step out of the Kool-Aid that you get to see, you know, these life events that happened to me, they shocked me out of my comfort zone. You know, whether it was a parent passing or something not working or a friendship's fault, whatever it was, I just realized that there was always something coming up, unless it's death. Right, then nothing else will come up. That'll be the last event, right? But something kept coming up, but then there was always this requirement to get back up and get going, right? Because nobody slows down for you. It's like, I learned from people close to me leaving this earth that it really doesn't happen on the time that we planned. And we hear this in keynotes and all these things, like the Steve Jobs commencement speech drove me to that, you know, thinking it didn't sink in until it actually happened. And hopefully I still have long life and we all do ahead. But, you know, when I was working in California or I was spending time there, especially in startups, we had this process that we started doing stand-ups, right? And even that started emerging. You know, this was when like product management, product owners, project management, this whole space was evolving. And I was helping out at General Assembly kind of put that space together in Los Angeles. And through these stand-ups, you know, it was clear that there's a process for everyone to work together in a group on a common goal. Even though we were all in different projects or were working on different companies, we all came together for this common goal, you know, at this studio I was at. And I didn't plan to do anything with that. It was just cool, sounds great, you know, that's a cool thing to do. I was working on my alarm clock at the time. And that was a product I was working on for about 10 years, helping. Our mission was to help people wake up focused and motivated. And we inevitably said we failed because, you know, we woke up over 1 million people across the world in different countries, regions, but they kept snoozing. And, you know, we thought, wow, like, okay, it's funny, right? It's like, yo, you failed. Yeah, I kind of did because we had, you know, much more to do. And that's where you and I met. You know, I was really at the last sort of step of Clue is what that product was called. And, you know, I was finding myself in schools and at that point trying to help high school students and middle schoolers. And we were just doing these stand-ups, you know, and it became clear through those stand-ups and daily check-ins that these kids didn't have this language, you know, that they didn't know what a blocker was, or once they started to understand, it wasn't just the word. It was like, oh, we all get together and work together whenever we have this sort of, it's like we all step away from what we've all thought and assumed. And when we come into this group environment with this language, we all work together, right? And that to me was just like, building products for so many years, it was like a aha moment where I thought, well, what is this? Like, what's happening here, right? So that's sort of like where we met. And so to wrap up the long tail thought, what is a blocker? It's essentially anything that holds a human back from accomplishing or attaining their goals, or slows that human down from attaining that goal. A blocker cannot be removed, so it cannot be deleted from your life, like an emotion cannot just be deleted from your memory, but a blocker, we believe, can be resolved. So you could walk around it, you could chip away at it, you could try to just remove the whole thing, right? But there'll still be some skimmages left over. You could run off and come back and see that it's still there. Right. So it's just a different framework for things like impediments or issues or anything that's in the way.
The funny thing about this is you just mentioned so many things that educators see with students, like you're blocked constantly. Right. I think a lot of educators see that, but we don't quite understand it. Right. We don't understand mm-hmm. each and every student. And I think when we work together, we kind of uncovered those things, which was super, super cool. But then it led to District Zero. And let's really start to take a look at the social emotional learning categories. Let's start putting into what I like is what you really taught me, if I may, tell me if I'm way off here, but like as a technology team, you have a problem, you go through the UX design or the design thinking or all these different, you know, problem solving techniques and theories and whatnot. But in reality, isn't that what we're doing in education? And in education, each student has their own story. And a lot of them, like yourself, felt maybe a little bit isolated because there wasn't somebody like you or looked like you or felt like you. You just didn't know. Man, we broke that open a little bit, and this is what you're doing with District Zero. We take a class, a cohort, or however the school is set up, and guess what? We're all going to help each other teammate up where we have a problem to solve, and that problem could be math. That problem could be, you know, art. It could be anything, right? It could be just generalized life, with which usually is where you start. So, did I hit it? Is that where we are?
I think it's it's special because you're a different breed of teacher.
Oh, like, I know.
You really, and I think that's where we meshed, and that's where I meshed with any other teachers that actually start using District Zero or are all excited just as I am about it, is this idea of a couple things. One is fail fast. So this idea of, like, that aligns totally with me in design thinking and product development world, because quick, don't take 9 months to figure something out and then fail. Do it quick. Now, what do we need? What do we have right now? Duct tape it together, figure it out, right? Just like get, so that idea was one thing. The other is this idea of teachers knowing that they're facilitators of knowledge as opposed to the holders of knowledge, right? That's where you and I align, because you didn't say, hey, Zaire, I know design thinking and I'm going to teach it because I'm the teacher here, right? My students are expecting me to know everything. For however you did it, you had an environment set up where you allowed a guest instructor for 10 days essentially come in and lead your class, right? And you even grew. You showed your own learning moments to the students. And that's, I didn't know that this is SEL. I didn't come in, I was like, oh my God, social emotion. No, this is just like, as you're the one who showed me the SEL wheel, the castle wheel, right? You were like, hey, or, and to me, that was like the product hat went on. I was like, wait a minute. As somebody that's a wild card in life, anytime I find some bumpers and some guardrails where I could, like, you know, chip away at a rock or a piece of coal and build into a diamond, I love that. And that's what I saw. I was like, all these pieces were coming together. I was like, thank you, framework over here, innovative teacher over here. The kids listened to me because I was coming in with the idea of, I don't know, I'm also figuring things out. I kind of failed at my last product. So, you know, and so I think it was all of that just culminating. Yeah, to then, you know, say, all right, this is where education should be going, or we should be thinking about it a little differently.
This is where it is going, I think, and it has to. We figured out a lot in the pandemic and understanding the big pivot. And I think one of the things that you said is very important. We've always known systems move like a glacier, right? They're very slow, they're very... and we start leaving things behind. The world is moving faster than education. And that's just no disrespect on anybody, but it's just the way it is. And there's a change that's happening. And, you know, in order to, let's highlight, like, on the student side of things, right? So let's unpack District Zero real quick. So this is basically how you're disrupting education in such a way where the students have their own voice, they have their own path, they get to really figure out, well, how do they want to remove their own blockers? I don't say you need to do this, or there's not an adult in the room that's there's a guidance piece. Let's unpack what a student walks through as they go through District Zero. So just a brief the intro level of District Zero, if you will. What does that look like?
You know, for a student, think of it as this, like, 24/7 soundboard that's available for you. You know, it's a support soundboard. That's really, like, how I think of it. And when I put myself as a student, is a place, a psychological safety net, an environment where I can just go every day if I want, right? I can have a place to just run through a few critical emotions or critical routines. And at first I'm wondering, why am I answering these things, or why is it the same thing each day? What I'm really then seeing an effect in is kind of like when you go to the same gym every day, right? You might say, hey, this is the same gym. It's the same machine. There's the same track. It doesn't change in size. Why do I keep on coming to the same? Because you're optimizing your performance in that, right? And so that's what a student sees is, first, it's just a soundboard. You can go express your thoughts. If you say anything that's really, that might show difficulty or you're going through some hardships, you know, you'll be given some resources and tools immediately. And, you know, it's also, you have a relationship built with, so it's the system. That way you have that trust, but you have a leader, and that leader is a human. It's somebody that's guiding you along the way. So it's somebody that you trust. It could be a teacher. It could be a social worker. It could be a vocational instructor. For me, you know, a lot of the times it's just kids that want to work on, you know, entrepreneurship or something. And they're like, hey, can I just, you know, could you be my leader, a mentor, accountability, whatever you want to call it. And that person is saying, hey, I'm going to help you in your journey, whatever your journey is, whether you want to be an astronaut, whether you want to be a doctor, whether you want to be a chef, whether you want to be a YouTube a talent, right? Like any path that you've chosen, I'm going to, as a leader, help you resolve whatever blockers come up. It might be your day-to-day blocker. It might be a big one. And you're like, I don't know how the heck I'm going to tackle this. As an immigrant, I had a lot of those. Like, it's like you make these small things look massive. And that's another thing with blockers is the way you look at a blocker is not the same way someone else looks at it. So that's the big thing in the system, is we're all working together on our blockers, but what's really happening is we're building a community of blocker resolutions, right? Everyone working together. So
running students through what we've saw, I've run it at two different schools, and Von brief small things as we're trying to UX design this and everything. And it is truly amazing because you are exercising, if we could stay on the treadmill, but you're exercising that self-awareness, right? You're exercising that self, you're taking a pause, because we know in education, especially secondary education, but this works all levels. But in secondary education, the students are bell one, bell two, bell three, bell four,
yeah,
practice.
Yeah,
I just got off the bus. I got to get to the bus.
Yeah.
There's a lunch.
Yeah.
Am I going to eat today? I don't, you know, so there's so many different things that are happening. It allows for that. It's very amazing, dude. I mean, and it's been an honor actually to continue to work with you, because you're right. I have taught a lot about, I have learned a lot about myself as an educator and as humans. And I've created some very good relationships with students who are very quiet about things.
Yeah,
and,
yeah,
you know, they were silently suffering and they didn't feel like they had a place, especially even in a pandemic. When some students were in-house and some students were not even in-house, we found that this was working. I want to give a chance to have you say to the listeners, how can they contact you? How can they get some more information about this amazing? Do you want to call it an app? I mean, it's an application. I don't know. It's like it's a piece of social emotional learning that,
I mean, first and foremost, before I jump into like a plug on that, I got to commend you as a teacher, right? As an educator, you really created this safe space for me as a product designer, developer to work, right? As a design thinker. And, you know, I've seen you talk so much about student first learning, student first, and it's just now sinking into me how important that is and why this program even worked, you know, like. For a teacher, it wasn't the bell. The bell schedule happened on the routine for us when we were in the pilot. What was different about what we were doing was we built in a part of that routine to allow the student voice to come in. And we responded or acknowledged that voice every single day, the following period, the following day's period. So we ran a Delta Plus at the end of that class. And then you iterated your curriculum every single day, right? Based off that. That is where a student starts to feel like they are getting back in somewhat control. Right now, why the bells are so annoying is because I can't say anything, right? It's like you put a time box on me, I got nowhere to say anything, and you gave me a deadline for a curriculum. not everyone's going to work in that environment. So, you know, that's a big reason of why it even worked, was this is truly student voice. Now, as far as getting going, you know, the first thing is, if you're like Peter, that's really good, right? If you've said, hey, I also believe in this mindset, that I believe in a student first approach, and I'm, as a teacher, also willing to learn alongside, because I know if I do that, it'll help everybody. And that's what how SEL works, is when everyone does it. It's not just when you direct it to a group of students. As a teacher, you're probably wondering, okay, how am I going to do SEL? Parents are saying, how am I going to do it? Here's a great way. Empower your students and your teachers to use a program like District Zero. That's a great way to show how we can all do SEL, because it'll show you what comes about, right? It shows everyone, like, hey, ways to improve without jeopardizing privacy security. We've put in a lot of work on that. We're proud to say we're on AWS, EdStart, COPPA, FERPA, GDPR, CCPA, SOPPA. I mean, got it. Security, got it, right? Privacy, got it. But make that decision. And then from there, just go to districtzero.co. If you are a leader, we have an amazing promotion. We literally discounted super heavy for the summer right now. Get in. It's free to get going. Get these check-ins going. Test it with any students that you have, or any classroom, or even your own home, right? Over the summertime, these blocker resources, our AI system is growing, our auto suggestions, essentially, they started about a month and a half ago, and now they're just ramping up. That's normally going to be a premium feature that we typically charge like 10 bucks a month or $100 a year. Even that was, we brought it down to a buck a month and like 10 bucks for the whole year, which means think like Google Forms, Google Sheets, Control F, remove all that now. Go in, create your groups, morning check-in for these groups. It'll go out on this day, invite learner, boom, 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 walk away. Even if you can't check the reports, the blockers are being resolved or they're being suggested. And if you say, you know what, I got an hour or two, I want to spend some time really like adding my own thoughts to these check-ins and suggestions, go in and add your own. Yeah. And that's what I would say. You know, if you're a learner, if you're saying, hey, I don't have a leader, maybe it's a hard space. You know, maybe you're not, you don't have someone motivational, you know, and you're like, hey, I'm in a tough area. My teachers aren't really in, or no one's supporting me. Go to the same website, districtzero.co. And on the footer at the very bottom, there's an option that says join Uzair's group. I'll be your leader. Now you got a CEO of a tech company as your leader. You got an entrepreneur as your leader. We'll run it together and we'll get you ramped up so you can tackle your blockers, right? So that's how I would say is the next thing to do is just, whether you're a teacher, a vocational, K-12, hybrid teacher, head to District Zero, request access. You'll get set up within a day. You'll be good to go, up and running. And if you're a learner, go to the same website.
Love it. Love it. And kudos for you for just like, I mean, that's when you know somebody really cares about what they're doing, is we're like, you know, I'll be it. Let's go. And we've had that discussion. I think the other thing that I really like with educators is, you know, when we do see surveys, we do see a lot of surveys. We don't see results, or if we see results, they're overwhelming. You've developed the AI behind it to where it does guide. I will tell you, one of the things that's very interesting about this and very disruptive, if you will, is I had, when a student wasn't doing good, let's just say my own curriculum, which I'm a business teacher, my listeners know, when a student wasn't doing good, there was a lot of assumptions. I'd be like, all right, well, you look tired, or maybe you were out last night, you know, driving cars with buddies in Lakeshore Drive. Like, what are you doing? Like, I'm making assumptions. This allows student voice, and then I can actually go back. I don't have to start finding blocker removers or all these things. It's already done. But I also can actually check to see if there's something is in there. And if it's severe, it does allow me to see it right away. So, you know, there were cases where we did have some severe stuff. Some of it may not be so severe, but let's edge on the safe side. And that's what's wonderful about it. And it's truly disrupting education in a great way, to where We are. We're leading with students. I see it a lot with like schools with advisory periods. I see it with like A periods. There's a lot of educators who just, all right, we're just going to throw out the announcements to you. Some schools do a better job than others. Some teachers do a better job than others. This is a great place for that. And again, I'm talking secondary. There's a whole bunch of other things. If you're primary, you're going to want to check this out. It's district0.co. Uzair, man, it's always a pleasure to speak with you. And, you know, you are an amazing dude. Like I said, amazing with everything. Kick butt, everything. And honestly, yeah, if you do want to know more, hit up district0.co. I can't wait to see what comes next, man.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I mean, we've learned a lot recently over some of the COVID schools, and it's been challenging, but through that, we've just like any design thinking experiment, what comes about is something that works for a lot of people. So yeah, it's going to be exciting. We're just getting started. Definitely sign up, go to the website that's spelled just like it, you know, sounds, district0 .co. And yeah, thanks so much, Peter. I love these discussions, work, anything we do. So yeah, let's keep it going.
Awesome. Awesome. And thanks so much for being on Disrupt Education, man. We'll put all that information in the show notes. If you guys want to click on those and take a look at if you're a parent, if you're a student, if you're a school, we'll have all that information down there.
Yeah.
And thank you all for listening to Disrupt Education. We'll catch you next time on the podcast.